Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Millions of people have lost weight with personalized plans from Noom. Like Evan, who can't stand salads and still lost 50 pounds.
Salads generally for most people are the easy button, right? For me, that wasn't an option. I never really was a salad guy. That's just not who I am. But Noom worked for me.
Get your personalized plan today at Noom.com. Real Noom user compensated to provide their story. In 4 weeks, the typical Noom user can expect to lose 1 to 2 pounds per week. Individual results may vary.
Welcome to episode number 43 of Mysteries of the Unexplained. I am William and herself, his name is...
Bernie.
Are we carrying Bernie through now after the Patreon episode where you disclosed that your real name is Bernie? So is this going to be going forward now, Will and Bernie?
I'm just trying it on for size now that I'm moving into a trailer park in the country. It's not actually a park, it's just a trailer. I just wondered, would Bernie maybe suit me better now that I'm going to be back home? It's a very local kind of a name. Just let me try it for a week, Will, and I'll get back to you.
You should see how it goes. Try it on for size. Very good, very good. Now, before we start off this week's episode, we have a bit of housework to get through, so let's begin.
I want to do some housework today. Number one, the whole place needs to be cleaned and hoovered and the beds need to be changed. But before that, I would like to say a big, huge thank you to our two new Patreons, Riley Ray and Ian Marriott. Thank you so much. We didn't forget about you guys this week, even though it's a very special episode. And this one is dedicated to you both.
Thank you so much, you guys. And also, we have two new reviews sent in to us. The first one is Stop Everything and Listen Now, 5 stars. Seriously, my all-time favorite podcast. Hilarious, funny, spooky, and literally makes me smile and laugh every time. Will and Annie are a fabulous team, and I, along with other converts, consider them our personal friends. Sometimes oversharing, become a Patreon member to learn more. This is the best podcast for a weirdo like me, and I hope more weirdos find it. Love you, Will and Annie. Thank you so much for brightening my days. And that's from Mary Mufot in the United States.
Oh, thank you so much. That is so cute. And I just love people telling me that I'm great. So I'll have another one there, please.
And the second one, thank you so much for that. The second one comes in and it says, love, 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 5 stars. Listening to this podcast is the only thing getting me through the day. Thank you. And that's from Jamie Penny Beach. And that's from the USA as well. Thanks so much for that review.
Thank you so much, very, 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 very much
appreciated.
Very, very, very much. And you know, two egomaniacs like us need nothing more than a little ego massage first thing in the morning. Thanks so much, guys. We really appreciate
it. Speak for yourself. If you would like to write your review, you can do so on Apple Podcasts, wherever you listen to your podcast, because it helps us greatly be discovered and become mainstream, where we will then release a pop album with many, many guest artists on it, because we'll have a better record deal. And if
all
you know
of
what
this,
I mean.
All of this really is just part of our master plan for Will to release at some stage in his life a pop album. I mean, it's going to have to happen. And you know, some celebrities just sneak in there after they've become celebrities. I think that this is actually our plan. But like, if you really like us, then I think you'd really like the album. It's going to be great.
To be honest with you, I think the exact same thing. And, you know, like Annie said, this is just the foundations of our matchstick mm-hmm. house, which will mm-hmm. either go up in flames or be an architectural marvel.
Oh, it'll go up in flames. Oh, it'll absolutely go up in flames, like everything else in our lives.
And one of us then might go solo and be going to have Beyonce fame, but we couldn't possibly tell at this stage which person that will be. Now, let's just park that in a double park space for the moment, because this week we got the opportunity to interview the queen of the paranormal herself, Miss Yvette Fielding.
It was fantastic. Like, I'm excited about it, like, and it's already happened. Like, I even know what happened and I'm excited about it. She was so sweet. Like, she's so genuine that, like, it even, like, it just makes you go, oh my god, like, it actually all is real, like, whatever, because this lady is just so genuine and she's like telling us stuff that happened. We'll have to edit out all our like gasps because they were so annoying for people to listen to, didn't you, Will? We were like, what? Like, actually, Will afterwards, Will was like, okay, we have to edit out all the gasping and oh my godding, because it's just annoying for you guys. But the stories are just incredible. If you grew up watching Most Haunted and or you love like a true experience, you guys are gonna fucking love it.
So grab yourself a cup of tea, cup of coffee, hot chocolate, dim the lights, put on your headphones, or just try and filter out your co-workers and listen to our interview with Yvette Field.
Flexibility is great. That's why there's yoga. Flexibility for your insurance coverage is great too. That's why there's United Healthcare Insurance Plans. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, United Healthcare Insurance Plans offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage for medical, vision, dental, and more. One of these plans may be right for you if you're, say, between jobs, coming off your parents' plan, turning a side hustle into a full hustle, or even missed open enrollment. Want more flexibility? Find out more about United Healthcare Insurance Plans at uh1.com.
Ready to pop the question? The jewelers at BlueNile.com have got sparkle down to a science with beautiful lab-grown diamonds worthy of your most brilliant moments. Their lab-grown diamonds are independently graded and guaranteed identical to natural diamonds, and they're ready to ship to your door. Go to BlueNile.com and use promo code LISTEN to get $50 off your purchase of $500 or more. That's code LISTEN at BlueNile.com for $50 off. BlueNile.com, code LISTEN.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
If you're looking for plump lips that last, you need to know about Juvederm lip fillers. With Juvederm Volbella XC and Juvederm Ultra XC, your lip look, whether it's subtle or bold, can last up to 1 full year with optimal treatment and no additional maintenance. Find a licensed specialist and see if it's right for you at Juvederm.com today. That's Juvederm.com. Add fullness to lips in adults over 21 with Juvederm Volbella XC or Juvederm Ultra XC. Do not use if you have severe allergies or a history of severe allergic reactions, or if you're allergic to lidocaine or the proteins used in Juvederm. Tell your doctor if you have a history of scarring or taking medicines that decrease the body's immune response or that can prolong bleeding. Common side effects include injection site redness, swelling, pain, tenderness, firmness, lumps, bumps, bruising, discoloration, or itching. As with all fillers, there's a rare risk of unintentional injection into a blood vessel, which can cause vision abnormalities, blindness, stroke, temporary scabs, or scarring. For full, important safety information, visit Juvederm.com.
Yvette, thank you so much for joining us today on Mysteries of the Unexplained. I have to say, Yvette, it's like a dream come true for me, as I was an avid fan of Most Haunted and, of course, Most Haunted Live when I was a teenager, which scared me to death on many occasions.
It scared me too.
I'm sure it did.
Oh no, thank you so much for having me on your podcast. It's lovely. Thank you. Appreciate it. Fabulous thank to be you. Here with you.
Thank you. Well, I suppose, so let's begin at the start. Could you tell us when or how did your interest in the paranormal begin?
Oh, my goodness me. Well, I've always been fascinated by it, really, but a little bit, you know, obviously scared as well, because it is the unexplained. You know, that's the word in your title of your podcast. It's the unknown, isn't it? The mysteries of it all. And I think anything that's unexplained sort of can make you feel a little bit uneasy. So my real fascination began with it in the 70s, before you two were born, because I'm an old fart now. There was a gentleman called Arthur C. Clarke. And I thought he was marvellous. And he had a TV show called Arthur C. Clarke's Mysterious World. And I used to love watching these shows with my mum. And he also had, I think it was a magazine that came out sort of monthly. And inside the magazine on this particular month was like a free giveaway, like a floppy vinyl disc, if you will. And my mum bought it, and she was fascinated because it said Voices of the Dead. And so she put it on the record player and played it. Well, she leapt like a cat scalded onto the record player, ripped off the thing. I'm not having that in my house. And I remember just the look, absolute look of fear. And I remember the noise. It was really scary. It was like all this stuff. And I sort of stood there, you know, as this young kid going, oh, okay, that's a bit freaky. But me and my mum were always fascinated in the ghosts and the unexplained, and like I say, Arthur C. Clarke. And then, you know, fast forward, you know, a few years, you know, seeing my first apparition was in my mum's house. I was visiting, and I just saw this soldier from the waist up staring at me. And, you know, you guys probably know just as much, if not more, than I do. But it was that, you know, hypnopompic, could it have been hypnopompic sleep state? You know, you're waking up,
yeah,
and you know, a lot of us see things, don't we, and hear things just as we're going to sleep or as we're waking up. So when the brain is really on another level, really, it's doing its own thing. So anyway, I open my eyes, and there, sort of floating at the foot of my bed, was this colour, solid image from a soldier, and I described him down to the hair on his head was so clear, and it was dark hair, and it was side parted, and he had, like, you know, Brill cream, and it was just unbelievable. But he was staring straight at me, and I was absolutely petrified. And then I discovered there are only 5 houses on my mum's road, that this gentleman had been visiting each house and shaking the bed and terrifying people. So I went and got a local historian, and she told me that the train track that ran at the bottom of all of our gardens is the main train line from Manchester through to London. And during World War II, one gentleman, a young soldier, threw himself off and was cut in half by the wheels of the train. So was that his ghost? And at the time, my stepfather was actually digging up all the land at the back. And I think that's a huge, big, you know, red light going off. Whenever you have building works, or whenever you start sort of messing around with land, that's when you do get a lot of paranormal activity reported. So those were my sort of introduction to the world of the paranormal. And then fast forward a few more years, and I had a haunting of my own in my own house, because I was opening myself up, doing a lot of meditation, and I went too far. And I remember just the whole house just kicking off, cupboard doors opening and closing, doors slamming on their own, the television going on and off on its own, the radio coming on and off and on its own. It was incredible, and it was scary. So we had to call somebody in, please will you help us, we don't know what's going on. And he just said, you've opened yourself up by doing all of this meditation. And I was reading about, I think it was James Van Praagh was the first medium that I was really interested in. And I read his books, and I was really interested in it. And I think if you start doing that, anybody that's listening now, and you think, I really want to get into it, you will find that you start to open your third eye, as it were, and all sorts of things can start to happen. But you've got to do a lot of research, which is something I didn't do. And anyway, he shut it down. And it all stopped. And so that was it. And then, of course, The Birth of Most Haunted came along, and the rest is history.
Wow. That's incredible.
That was a big long answer, wasn't it?
No, that was incredible. And I think it's so interesting what you said about opening yourself up to it, because I think, like, I'm a lot more scaredy than Will is. Like, Will has always just been very interested, and I've been, like, interested from behind the couch, because, like, I've always felt that if, like, I've had this feeling that if you ask for it, or if you open yourself up to it, it will come. Like, Will used to joke with me and be like, oh, like, I'll call a demon down upon you. And I used to freak out. I was like, we'll actually do
it. That was a joke, though.
You evil thing. Yeah.
I'd be saying, don't say it even jokingly. This was even before the podcast, because Will used to, like, hide in wardrobes and jump out at me and hide under the bed, like, always playing tricks on me.
No, we're not. We're best mates, and we lived together as well for a number of years.
Yeah. We fight like brother and sister, Yvette. We fight like brother and sister. But what I wanted to ask you is, so you've had a really big career in TV, obviously, and you started when you were very young. I don't know if some of our US listeners might know it, but it was a show called Sea View in Britain. And then you were actually the youngest Blue Peter presenter ever, which was kind of amazing when I think of what I was doing at 18, that you were doing that. Like, it's incredible. But one of my favourite moments is your Annie Lennox impersonation.
Oh my God. Like,
is a favourite of mine. It's another big TV moment. But you have talked about when you started Most Haunted, that you kind of, like, put all your eggs in one basket with it, and you were like, this is what I want to do. And you were taking a big risk by doing it. So, and did you feel like, did you know how much of a risk you were taking? Obviously, like, did you feel like the show was going to be it could be as successful as it finally went on to be?
It was very weird when myself and Carl look back at that moment. It was bizarre. I really believe that something was pushing us to do it. I really believe that, because we were, it was something I was always, like I said, interested in and fascinated, but certainly I never thought about making a show about it. It just wasn't something I was didn't even think about. And it was just a friend that came over. He'd spent a weekend at Michelin Priory with his girlfriend. They'd spent, had a lovely little holiday getaway. And then when, afterwards he was, oh, it's, haunted by, allegedly 13 ghosts. It's crazy, And that night, Carl and I'd watched Blair Witch, that's right, a couple of months beforehand. And he said, would you spend the night with, in a haunted house with the TV crew? And I went, oh, yeah, I think I would. I said, but what if we got those cameras? The night vision cameras, what if we got that? Yeah, wow. And we spent all night coming up with the idea, writing it down and scribbling it out and starting again. And the original title of it was called Yvette's Haunting Truths. I mean, how terrible is that? But we really believed it. We really believed in this. And we, I just had our daughter Mary, so I was a stay-at-home mum at the time. I was having a break from telly to look after the family, and Carl was he was traveling around the world. He was doing loads of work as a cameraman and a camera supervisor. He was doing big shows and all of this, so he was bringing in the money to pay for the mortgage. And we believed it. This is what gets me. We believed in this pilot so much that we sunk all our savings into it. We had nothing left, because we wanted it to look really professional. We wanted it professionally edited. We wanted Alan Clark, who was, he'd played in some serious bands and he was a fantastic musician. We asked him, we paid him a lot of money to do all the music. So thousands of pounds had gone into this thing. And we were absolutely convinced that we would sell it, and yet nobody wanted it. And it was heartbreaking, absolutely heartbreaking.
It must have been so heartbreaking. I can't imagine, like, how heartbreaking that would be.
It really was. I mean, tears. I always remember Carl sitting in the bathroom with his head in his hands, crying, saying, we can't afford to pay next month's mortgage. And I didn't want to sort of, because I had newborn baby and all of that, and I was thinking, oh my God, what are we going to do? And I always remember Carl had to go away for Christmas because we had to earn the money. And so he was due to do marlin fishing for Sky Sports. And he was at the airport ready to go. And he got a phone call because he'd gone to, he said, I need to find out what's wrong with this pilot program because nobody wants it. What's going on? So a friend of ours said, look, why don't you try this guy called Arch Dyson? He's the head of Flextech, which was the head of the Living TV channel in the UK at the time. Yeah, he said, he'll give you an honest opinion. He's a great guy. So Carl's right, before I go to the airport, I'll have a meeting with Arch and we'll get it sorted. So he did. Arch, it was a VHS in those days, put the VHS in the machine and it was a half an hour, I think it was 28 minute show. And he sat there and watched it. And Carl was really nervous, thinking, oh my God, what's this guy going to do? Never said a word for the whole 28 minutes. Finished, the show finished. He took the VHS out, put the VHS down on the table, slid it across towards Carl and went, I'll have it. And I want 16 episodes. When can he shoot? Oh, and then I got a phone call from Carl at the airport on his way to, after the meeting, on his way to do the marlin fishing. And he went, we've got it. We've got it. And I was clearing up some Lego at the time and I fell to my knees and I went straight onto the Lego and died in absolute. It was the agony and the ecstasy. It was like, oh my God. Oh my God. Oh my God. And that was it. So we went, away. Yeah, we went away and we shot the first lot of programs, but people complained because it wasn't long enough. So it originally was half an hour and then it went to an hour show and we've never looked back, and it's been sold to over 100 territories around the world. I think we've just sold the more episodes to America. They're due to come out soon. So that's really exciting.
Wow. I think apart from all the poltergeists, like, that's the bravest and most scary thing you've ever done. Like, that is
it must be absolutely terrifying. I was just like sitting there being like, imagine myself in that situation, going like, oh, I'd be freaking out.
But isn't it funny though how you get, I don't know if you guys have experienced this, where you actually get this almost an invisible hand for no reason pushing you to do something. And you look back and you think, why did I do that? Why? I firmly believe that we are, I don't know, whether it's relatives that have passed on or whoever, sort of giving us this sort of little nudge or this guidance to keep going, you know.
Most Haunted, of course, went on to be a huge phenomenon. And you and your team have mentioned being attacked with a crazy array of implements whilst ghost hunting, including a crowbar. But can you tell us a paranormal encounter that really sticks in your mind, that nearly keeps you up at night sometimes?
Well, I've spoken about this lots of times, but you know, I don't know if you've heard it, but it was, we were broadcasting live on the Discovery Channel for America, and we were also simultaneously broadcasting for the UK, and we were at Edinburgh Vaults in Scotland, in Nidri Street Vaults. So have you heard the story?
I've been down there. I lived in Edinburgh for a few years and I've been down there. Oh, yeah. I was down there with you.
Yeah.
Terrifying enough. Yes.
So you'll remember there's a part of Nidri Street Vaults where there's sort of like an anteroom where there's a stone circle. And that's allegedly where witches performed lots of dark magic and so on. And many people like yourselves that have actually gone to Nidri Street Vaults, they pay to go and have a tour, they've come out and complained that they've had scratches on their hands. Now, I'd heard, and as you guys will probably know of this, but, you know, there are lots of paranormal cases, lots of haunting cases. For instance, the true story of The Exorcist, as we know, was really a little boy, not a little girl. Part of the case was having scratch marks and burn marks on his torso that made up words and the awful, awful things. You know, there's lots of cases where scratches of you know, we've heard of and read about, and they've been made into horror movies and so on. So I'd only ever heard about this. I've never seen it with my own eyes. So we were told, whatever you do, when you go into Nidri Street Vaults and the room with the stone circle, do not stand in the centre of the circle and do not be disrespectful. So, of course, I stood on the outside of the circle, but three members of the team decided to be the opposite. They were swearing, they were goading them, they were do your worst, this, that and the other, swearing, blah, 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 blah. Anyway, as I said, we were on air and we'd been on air for quite a while. Stuart was stood in slightly in front of one of the cameras that was streaming across to the States. And they were taking a television feed as well. And what was extraordinary was he was stood there for 20 minutes. He had a black leather jacket on and a white T-shirt underneath. He screams out loud first as it and saying, I'm burning, help me, Yvette, my back is burning. He pulls his leather jacket off and you see blood coming through, beginning to come through on his on his T-shirt, which was just the most frightening thing I've ever seen. Oh my gosh. Pulled his T-shirt off and you actually see three big gouges, scratches from the top underneath his right shoulder blade right down to the small of his back on the left-hand side. Carl then screams out, my neck, and you see three scratches on the back of his neck that have drawn blood. But the worst one was the sound guy. He screamed and fell to the floor because from on the side of his leg, from the bottom of his knee to the top of his ankle, it was such a deep cut you could see the bone. And he had to go to hospital and have stitches. Now, Stuart still has the scars from that, which is over 10 years ago. They were that deep. Now, I could not keep it together. I tried so hard. I was in shock. I mean, I was in proper shock. Yeah. I couldn't stop shaking. I'd never seen anything like this before. This was extraordinary to me. And the fact that we were seeing this live as it happened was just, I just couldn't get my head around it. And I tried so hard to keep it together and keep the show going. And then I burst into tears and then dry my eyes and keep going again and then burst into tears again. And I managed to keep it going until we went off air. And then I resigned. I said, I'm not doing this show anymore. I said, I know it's our idea and all the rest. I said, but somebody else can do it. I don't want to do it anymore. I've had enough. That for me was the first step into realizing that we didn't have a clue what we were dealing with. And to a point, we still don't know. Nobody knows at all about the other side. There are no experts. As I say regularly on my podcast, it's just all you can go off are your own experiences and talking to other people with their own experiences. But there's no experts whatsoever. So we were touching on something that was unexplained. And this type of phenomena, as I mentioned at the beginning, it goes back not just, you know, in recent history, but hundreds of years. So what is it? Yeah. And the only thing I can explain is negative energy that manifests itself in the scratches and the burns. And then subsequently, poor Carl and Stuart, again, through goading, which they like to do, had the most horrendous matching burns on their arms. And they describe it as being hit across the arm with a whip or a crop. And the burns got so bad, they became infected and they both had to go on antibiotics. And when people say to me, oh, the show's faked, it's rigged, it's this, that and the other, all I can say is it certainly isn't. And we're putting ourselves in this position so that we can share the experiences with other people and then they can make up their mind. But we also say, come along to Most Haunted Experience and experience it yourself, you know? That's the only thing we can do.
Yeah. I have to say, we went into those vaults that night. Now, like, nothing, like, you know, spectacular happened, but I remember going into that room that you're talking about, and they told me about this stone circle, like, not to stand in it. I have never been so skinny in my life. I was plastered up against the wall so hard that I was actually two dress sizes smaller. Like, I just, like, it free, I just, the feel of the air in there, the temperature was so low. And then you can explain it, like, yeah, it's stone and you're underground and all the rest of it, but I was just like, get me out of here. Net, like, horrible energy, like, absolutely horrible. But I wanted to ask you a little bit about your podcast now that we're all podcasting buddies. And I think it's a really great medium for exploring stories, because you know, people tend to listen for longer, I think, sometimes on podcasts, and you can get really deep into things. And we've, like, explored loads and loads of different stories, and now you've also got another
another accolade in that you've just written the first of a series of books called The House in the Woods, and this is going to be part of the Ghost Hunter Chronicles. So, like, do you know, did you always write, or was it something that naturally happened after all of your experiences? Did you find that you wanted to kind of divert them into something different?
It was purely because of Most Haunted Experience. So yeah, we have the opportunity for people to join us on, you know, around the country in various haunted locations. And we did an under 16s one, which just flew. I couldn't believe it. I thought, oh, you know, is this going to work? And they were sold out, and it was crazy. And so I had the chance to meet all these really young. It was fantastic. You know, the 11 and 12 and 13-year-old kids are like, you know, turn up with their own ghost hunting equipment. I was like, oh, my God, I'd be terrified at their age. I'm terrified now, you know.
Oh, my God.
But they were really, really into it, you know, and it was great because we got the tapping phenomena, which was incredible. And we got some kids actually playing noughts and crosses with a ghost. But I said to them, point to a square with your noughts and crosses and wait for the ghost to knock. And then you put a cross in where that is. And then you go. And 9 times out of 10, the ghost would win. And the kids were just unbelievable. And they were going, I can feel it under my feet. I can feel the vibration under my feet. And this was just so amazing. So I asked them, and that, you know, if I were to write a book, would you like me to put my, oh, please, please, please write. And they said, yes, but how scary do you want? We want it really scary. And then I accosted, bless her, this poor woman in a bookshop, and she had 2 young sons with her. And I asked her, is it okay if I sit down and talk to you all? I just want to know, I've got this idea for some books, and mm-hmm. I just want to know how scary you'd like it. And they were going, these 2 lads, please make it really, we like to shake. I was going, really? And they were, yeah, please make it really scary. So that's where the idea came from. And so I've used 3 13-year-old kids, and on Halloween they decide to take a Ouija board with them to a haunted old abandoned house in the middle of Epping Forest. And they use the Ouija board. They've got a night vision camera. And it starts to move, and they're like, you know, the classic, did you stop moving it? Is you moving it? No, I'm not moving it. One of those, you know. And then and then whatever their contact follows them all home, and so begins their adventures into the world of the paranormal. And so it's the first book, as you said, Annie, in the Ghost Hunter Chronicles. So book 2 is already with the publishers, and that comes out same time next year. Yeah. And I'm working on book 3.
Wow, that's amazing. Like, I think both of us would have loved that book. Like, I used to read them and then have to put them, like, you know, in the fridge kind of a thing to keep them away from me. But, like, Will would have, like, eaten them up. Like, you know what I mean? I was one of those, like...
The opposite.
Exactly. In the fridge. I'm gonna nick fridge, that, if I may. Yeah, I like that.
I don't know. It's like a confined space. It was the nearest one to me. I was like, they can't get me if I put it in there.
Do you know the weird thing is that I said I watched Blair Witch. I think that was the only film that I watched within the last sort of 20 years that was slightly on the horror theme. But before that, I think years before, when I was a kid, about 15, 16, I watched Steven Spielberg's Poltergeist movie, which I absolutely love. But the weird thing is, since doing Most Haunted, I cannot watch any paranormal program. I can't watch any paranormal film. No, it messes with my head. Because, you know, like we're going off and doing an investigation next week for the podcast. And if I was to watch a movie like that the night before, it would really mess with me, and I would just, I'd end up needing some sort of help, really, at the end of the day. So I stay well away from it. How bizarre is that?
Fair enough.
Fair enough. I mean, you're doing enough. You're doing enough. Yeah, you're going to the places. We're only watching it on screen.
But Yvette, congratulations on the book, like Annie said. And I was wondering, the ideas for your characters obviously seem to come from your own paranormal experiences. Am I right in saying that?
Yeah, absolutely. Obviously, you know, the book is fiction. You know, the places and stuff. Mind you, some of the places aren't. So in the location in the first book is, you know, made up. But even though I did investigate Epping Forest and Live on Air got lost, which was quite funny, and had to have the ranger come in and rescue me in the middle on a most haunted live. So I know Epping Forest, and it really is a very dense, creepy, massive forest. But the actual gamekeeper's cottage, there, as far as I know, there isn't one in there. But in the next book, there's definitely a couple of the locations in there. I've actually, well, one of them I've definitely been to a couple of times. And I think that's really important. But also the paranormal phenomena, Will, that you asked about is real. Mm. So a lot of it is real. Some of it is fiction, but the obvious ones are real. So, for instance, Eve gets hit in the back by something. She doesn't know what it is, and she looks around on the floor, and her and her uncle Rufus, who's another great character in the book, find an old shell of a rifle, a bullet, and it's a clue to who is haunting them. And that actually happened to me at RAF Raynham. We were investigating there and doing a show, and something hit my back, and then something whizzed past me. And we heard this sort of metal dropping on the concrete floor. So all the torches went on. What is it? What is it? And we found, and I still have them, old rifle shells. And when we gave them to the historian, he said these date back from World War II, and he checked the serial number. So where had these bullets come from? And we'd recce'd the location. You know, you're putting cables in there for all the cameras. You're doing it.
Yeah.
No one, they weren't on the floor before. So where the heck had they come from? Some of them were very hot to touch, and some of them were icy cold. So it was very strange. So I wrote things like that in the book, and the tapping and knocking phenomena. Now, here's something I don't know if you two have actually experienced, but it's something that I really want to urge everybody within the paranormal world, something perhaps you guys can tap into. We need scientists to take this phenomenon much more seriously. They're just poo-pooing it as, and it really annoys me, because I'm just thinking, hang on a minute, this tapping phenomena, this knocking phenomena is coming through. It has a conscious mind. It is tapping out letters, words. They're giving us the most amazing information that we're then checking up and having verified. How is that just random? Some scientists are, it's our conscious minds doing it. No, it isn't. And it does really annoy me, as you can tell. It isn't our conscious minds. We've had the most amazing things come through. It makes no sense whatsoever. And they've told me via the knocking that it's them talking, but we're hearing it as... But actually, it's them talking. But because they're on a higher vibration, it's like the sonic boom. So when the sonic boom, you know, you hear that the sound of speed, it's coming through as this knocking phenomena. Why doesn't science investigate it more?
We've actually encountered, me and Annie lived in a house in Dublin, Ireland, and we both had encountered this in the house, knocking and all this the whole time. And for ages, we put it down to neighbours until we realised that the back of our house, which we didn't have access to the garden, so you can imagine we couldn't really see the back of the house.
Yeah.
But in that part of the house, there was actually no wall that was onto another house's.
Yeah, they were all exterior walls. Yeah.
Yes, that's what I'm trying to say. Thanks, Annie. And we were experiencing like thumping and banging, and like furniture was moving around and stuff. And it was incredible. Mm-hmm. Annie came to me after she had moved in. Well, you can say it, Annie.
I had been there now. This is how slow on the uptake I am. I had been there for quite a while, and you know, like it was an extension built onto an extension kind of thing. So I couldn't really figure if there was like who was beside me. There was no one beside me. And then I was like, oh God, Will, like those neighbors upstairs are so noisy. Like I'm kept up every night with this like banging and rapping and like heavy, heavy, heavy sounds. And he was like, Annie, there's no one up above us. So I thought,
that was my, I was like, okay, there's just the roof. So, but listen, Yvette, thank you so much. We have taken up so much of your time and we were so, so happy to have you on the show. And I know that our listeners are very like paranormal centric, like that's the thing that they love. So I know that if they haven't checked out Paranormal Activity yet, that they will love it. And a lot of them have kids that, like you say, are really, really into the paranormal. So your new book for any young adult readers is a great buy for Halloween. It's called The House in the Woods. And please do go out and check it out. And thank you so much, Yvette, for joining us today.
Thank you so much,
Yvette. It's been an absolute pleasure. Thank you, Annie. Thank you, Will. And I'm sure we'll speak again. Lots of love to you both.
I hope so. Lots of love. Thanks so much.
Wow, that was absolutely incredible.
I am shitting my pants. Like, we have opened ourselves up to so much shit, even by doing this podcast. Like, people have been seriously injured.
I know, when she said about the opening up yourself to something, I was like, I literally was practicing that with you on a daily basis when we lived together.
We used to like say these little incantations and ask things to come down upon me, and I used to freak out. But this is exactly why, because I believe that if it's out there and if you ask for it, you'll fucking get it.
Yeah, it's so true. And even with the scratches on the guy's like, back and stuff, and you needing stitches and having the scars to prove it. You got off lightly, really, when I think about it.
I just left.
And we were in the same place. Like, you got off very lightly. I think they were having a day off. That they were on like midterm break or something.
They were on the poltergeist like annual like holiday to Malibu. They were like, you know, down in cocktails and dancing on bars somewhere, and we were like, oh my god, we got away with it. Because I honestly thought that I would be the type of person. Plus, I could hear you whispering incantations as we walked into it. I was like, I'm fucked. I'm never going to get out of here. But then, like, no, to hear the reality of people actually really getting attacked in there, like, if I had heard that now before I went in there, if I had seen that episode before I went in there. And I think what makes it even realer is that, like, Yvette is just such a, like, an like a normal, genuine person that I just believe, you know.
Yeah,
like, I just believe every word that she says. I have no reason not to. And I'm like, this is real. Okay, so next week we're going to be back with a podcast about puppies and kittens and decorating your house.
Yeah, we just changed the whole thing. Mysteries of a Carefree Life is what our podcast is going to be called from now on. I was actually extremely nervous even interviewing her, as you can probably tell. And I don't know, I think it was just because I was like, she's from my childhood.
You're extremely nervous opening the fucking door to the postman sometimes.
That's not true. I always ask him, does he want a cup of tea? But it was amazing that she took the time to allow us to interview her. And of course, she did mention that she now has her podcast, Paranormal Activity, which you can find the link to in this episode's show notes. And as well as that,
she also has her brilliant new kids book coming out. It's called The House in the Woods, and it is the first of what is going to be a Ghost Hunters trilogy, and really good for kids aged 10 and up. And if you have a little kiddo that likes to be spooked but also likes a bit of fun, I think they'd really like it for Halloween. I know that it would have been the book that I was reading at Halloween, but also like putting in the fridge just to keep me safe at night time.
Hey, yeah, what is also, the fridge thing about?
Like, you know what's really weird? There's this episode of Friends where, like, when I saw it as a teenager, I was like, oh my God, because Joey is reading The Shining. Or somebody's reading The Shining, I think, and they could keep putting it in the freezer. But like, I used to put books in places where I thought that they couldn't like get me if I was scared of a book at any stage. So I wouldn't like it being in the room with me, because I had this weird feeling that the things could come out of it. So I used to put them like underneath couches, and I remember putting one in the fridge once, like just putting it in places where I thought that the ghosts would be somehow contained.
Oh, like it was like a Ghostbusters kind of like contraption device. You use that as a contraption to like contain the spirit.
It was my scientific
mind. You're strange little girl, Annie, aren't you?
So guys, thanks for joining us this week. I hope you enjoyed the interview, and if you would like more, you can sign up to our Patreon if you wish, the link for which is in the show notes as well. You'll get a bonus episode every Wednesday called Motu Weird Wednesdays. If not, we shall see you next Friday for more mysteries of the unexplained.
Tired of ads interrupting your gripping investigations? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Ads shouldn't be the scariest thing about true crime. Start listening by downloading the Amazon Music app for free or go to amazon.com/truecrimeadfree. That's amazon.com/truecrimeadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.
Need new glasses or want a fresh new style? Warby Parker has you covered. Glasses start at just $95, including anti-reflective, scratch-resistant prescription lenses that block 100% of UV rays. Every frame's designed in-house, with a huge selection of styles for every face shape. And with Warby Parker's free home try-on program, you can order 5 pairs to try at home for free. Shipping is free both ways, too. Go to warbyparker.com/covered to try 5 pairs of frames at home for free. warbyparker.com/covered.
Hey, it's Paige DeSorbo from Giggly Squad. High quality fashion without the price tag. Say hello to Quince. I'm snagging high-end essentials like cozy cashmere sweaters, sleek leather jackets, fine jewelry, and so much more. With Quince being 50 to 80% less than similar brands. And they partner with factories that prioritize safe, ethical, and responsible manufacturing. I love that. Luxury quality within reach. Go to quince.com/style to get free shipping and 365-day returns on your next order. Quince.com/style.